Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1. Everybody look with me at that. Let's begin reading in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now follow this now. I want you to really think about what you're reading. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us, what's given unto us? Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, listen. When a person turns from their sin, and when they trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, we call it being saved. Okay? You are saved from the penalty of your sin. You come to Jesus. You believe He died on the cross for you. You believe He rose from the dead. And just by faith, you just accept Him as your Savior. When that happens, when you are saved, for me, I was a teenager when I got saved. When that happens, something quite amazing happens the moment that you're saved. The moment that you get saved and the moment you turn to Jesus, something very amazing happens. You actually become a partaker of the divine nature of God Almighty. Let me show you again verse 4, okay? Look at verse 4. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the what? Wow! How about that? 1 Corinthians 6 says that my spirit and the Lord's spirit come together when I get saved and I become one with God. His spirit and my spirit become one. Like we said earlier, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, comes to actually dwell and live inside of us. We become one with Jesus. You're a new person. You are not the person you once were. Colossians 2 talks about a spiritual circumcision that happens without hands by God, whereby God imparts unto you a new nature. You become a brand new creature in Christ. Now, that divine nature of Jesus that lives inside of you, that's what your new identity is. When that divine life, now get this statement, when that divine life that has been planted in you, when it flows forth from you, the Bible calls that spiritual fruit. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, and goodness, and gentleness. All those things are fruits that come forth from us as that divine nature, that new nature that we've received in Christ. As that nature flows out of us, that's fruit that comes forth. In your handout, it says that God has given you everything you need to have a spiritual life of power, godliness, and fruitfulness. God's given you everything that you need. The Bible says this. In John 15, Jesus Christ made this statement. He said, if you abide in me and I in you, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. You see, I really want you to see something here. Look at verse 3. Okay, go back to verse 3. And if you like to write in your Bible, you may want to underline a couple words here. according, verse 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us. Now please get this, church. Let the Lord show you this. According as His divine power hath given unto us. What's the next two words? Oh, come on, y'all. Y'all sung so good. Now, stay awake, okay? He's given unto us what? All things that pertain to unto life and godliness. You lack nothing in Christ. In your handout is a great verse, and I want you to look in your handout at Colossians 2:10. It's one of my favorite verses. Say it with me. Ready? And ye are complete in Him. Who is the Him? It's Christ. Okay, say the rest of it. Which is the head of all principality and power. Folks, you are complete in Christ. I praise the Lord, when we get saved, we don't get part of Jesus, we get all of Him when we get saved. We are complete in Christ. You are complete in the Lord. You lack nothing. God, through His divine power, has given to you all things that pertain to life and godliness, power, fruitfulness. Everything now dwells in you in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we appropriate that life, when we appropriate the power that's been given to us in Christ, we abound in fruitfulness. You say, but Pastor, how do I appropriate all that divine life and power that's in me now in Christ? Look at verse 5, okay? I knew you were going to ask that. Look at verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add. Does everybody see that? Okay, add. That word add means to nourish. It means to grow. Add to your faith. What's the key to appropriating the life and power of Jesus Christ? He just got done telling you in verse 4, you're a partaker of the divine nature. He just got done telling you in verse 3, that according to God's divine power, He gave you all things that pertain to life and godliness. So if I've got all things needed to live a life of godliness, and if I'm a partaker of the divine nature of God, how do I appropriate that life? How do I appropriate that nature? How do I appropriate that power that's been given to me in the Lord Jesus Christ? He says in verse 5, with all diligence, He said, just add, grow to your faith. You have to grow your faith. Folks, listen. Sometimes we pray and we say, oh Lord, give me more faith. Give me more faith, God. I need more faith. Listen, really, that's not accurate. When you got saved, did you get part of Jesus or all of Jesus? Oh, listen. Christ was imparted unto you. And the Bible says that when Christ was imparted to you, you became one with Him in spirit. You got all of Him. You received His righteousness, His love, His faith, His power. All that Christ is now dwells inside of you, okay? And so it's not a situation where, oh, I got to have more faith. No, we just need to grow the faith that we have been given already in Christ. With diligence, we grow, we nourish that faith. Some of you just started discipleship growth group this morning. And that's what you're doing, is you're just, it's growing that which is already there in Christ. Let me give you an illustration that'll kind of help you understand. When a baby is born, a normal, healthy baby is born. Question, does that baby have everything that it needs to live and function in the world? Does it have all that it needs? I'm talking about internally. Does it have all that it needs in order to breathe and function and live? Yes. Yes. It's got all the equipment necessary to live and breathe. Okay? It's not a situation where, okay, it gets kidneys at 2 months. You know, then it gets a liver at 6 months. You know? No. It has all that. It's got a liver. It's got kidneys. It's got a heart. It's got blood vessels. All those things are in that baby when it's born. It's got everything it needs to live and function. What's necessary for the baby then? The baby just needs to what? Just needs to be fed and it needs to grow. When you got saved, you received everything you needed to live a life of victory and power and fruitfulness. You received it all in Christ when you got saved. Now it's a matter of verse 5, growing your faith. Add to your faith. Grow your faith. And folks, listen. As you learn to grow, and as you learn to grow and walk in total faith in Jesus Christ, spiritual fruit is the natural outgrowth of that relationship with Him. God shows us what that fruit looks like in verses 5, 6, and 7. He says there, verse 5, you know, add to your faith. In other words, grow your faith. What's the outcome? Virtue. And then to virtue, knowledge. And then to knowledge, temperance. And He goes through these things. And what I want to do is I want to take a couple weeks here. I want to examine the fruit of a growing disciple of Jesus Christ. Okay? Let me give you the first one. Number one there. The first fruit that is listed here is virtue. Okay? I want you to write that in. Virtue. Got it up here on the screen. Okay? And I want you to immediately write the definition of virtue. You ready? The definition is moral courage. Virtue simply means moral courage. Moral courage. Now, if you've been saved and if you've known the Lord for, say, 6 months or so, maybe a year, those of you that have been saved can still identify, even if you've been saved for a long time, for what I'm about to say. If you've been saved for a while, maybe 6 months, maybe a month, I guarantee you I'm going to pinpoint something that's happening in your life. Okay? Here's what's going on. The things that you used to do before you got saved that were morally wrong, they don't bring the enjoyment they used to now that you're saved. You know, before you were saved, man, hey, come on, let's go out Friday night with the gang, let's get drunk. You go out and get drunk, and it's just not as fun as it used to be. You know, maybe now that you're saved, it's like, man, these raunchy movies just don't hold what they used to. It used to be, man, you get mad and you just curse and swear. And boy, when you got all done, you felt better. Now you curse and swear and you feel worse. It's like, what's up, man? I don't feel any better after doing that. You know, used to be before you got saved that you know, you could be involved in sexual sin and didn't think anything of it. Now it's like, man, this is weird. This doesn't seem right. Let me tell you why that happens. After you get saved, Christ's Spirit comes to live inside of you. And the Spirit of the Lord in you begins to pinpoint areas of sin and moral compromise in your life. The Bible says in John 16:8 that the Spirit, Jesus said, I'm going to send my Spirit, and my Spirit's going to come and reprove of sin. You see, Christ's Spirit lives within you, and He begins pinpointing those areas of sin and those areas of moral compromise. Now listen, stay with me. Very important though, because what I'm about to share with you, it is either going to bring frustration in your life or what I'm going to share. If you can get what I'm sharing with you, you're going to understand it. It's going to bring peace in your life. Okay? As a believer, as you learn to totally trust Jesus Christ to live through you, as you just put your faith in Jesus, as you grow in your relationship with Him, as you fall more in love with Jesus each day, Christ very naturally takes away the desires for evil. And He replaces them with a love for Him. A love for Him. And if you love Him, then guess what? You love the things He loves. You love those things that are good and righteous and acceptable. You love them. You see, It's not a matter of, okay, all right, now that I'm saved, all right, can't do that anymore. Oh, I got to, can't do that. No, it's just, listen, as you fall in love with Jesus, as you grow in faith in Him, as you each day learn to abide in Him, trust Him, rely on Him, depend on Him, then folks, as you love Him, all those other things that were wrong just kind of fall off very naturally. And it's like, have you ever gotten discouraged with yourself as a Christian and think, man, I can't believe, man, I'm still battling this and that. But you ever look back and think, but here's what I was before I got saved. Look back 5 years from now and see how much you've changed. It happens naturally. It happens very naturally as you fall in love with the Lord. What happens is many times Christians get saved and they begin changing, but it's not because of a love for Jesus. It's not because they're growing in their relationship with Christ. They change to please their husband or to please their wife or to please the pastor or to fit in with the life group or to fit in here or to fit in there. And boy, they're so frustrated. But when you're changing and you're growing because you're falling more in love with Christ, then that moral courage just happens very naturally. It's not something contrived or worked up. You just very naturally, those things just don't hold what they used to hold. Through faith in Jesus, in your handout, it says, through faith in Christ, we put away the works of darkness and we walk as children of light. And I want you to look at the verses I have there, Ephesians 5, 8 through 11. Everybody look at that with me. It says, he's writing to Christians. He says, for you were sometimes darkness. Before you were saved, man, darkness characterized your life. He said, you were sometimes darkness before you were saved. But now are you light in the Lord. You have a new nature. You've completely changed. God's come to live inside of you. You're not the person you used to be. You used to dwell in darkness, but now Jesus' Spirit lives in you, and you're a child of the light. I love it. I love that. Look at the next verse. For the fruit of the what? Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Listen, folks, it's not something that is a it's not a self-righteous virtue. It's a work of the Spirit. Look at that. In the very middle of that passage, in parentheses, look at the parentheses. He says, walk as children of light. But how do I do that? Look at it. For the fruit of the what? Spirit. Folks, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of Jesus working in you. It's not some self-righteous virtue. It's just a spiritual fruit that comes forth from His Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is righteousness and truth. Listen, you remember the parable of the Pharisee and the publican? And you remember the Pharisee that came into the temple to pray? And Jesus said that what he said was, Lord, I thank you that I'm not as other men are. Thank you that I'm not like them, extortioners, adulterers, unjust. But I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. This guy thought he was it. The publican said, Lord, just be merciful to me, a sinner. Which one went to their house justified? The publican. The Pharisee did not. The Pharisee had a self-righteous virtue. It wasn't a work of God's Spirit. It was his own works. It was what he had done in the flesh. It wasn't a work of the Spirit. You see, when the Bible talks about virtue, moral courage, he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ in you. As you fall in love more with Jesus, then those areas of moral compromise begin to fall away. Look at the second fruit. The second one I want you to get is knowledge. Okay, in the text there's 2 Peter 1:6. He says, I want you to, verse 5. He said, add, grow. Remember that word add means to grow, to nourish. Nourish your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. Now write that in your handout, the word knowledge. Okay? And that word knowledge there, you may want to jot this in your handout there. It means full discernment. Full discernment. You know what discernment means? It means the ability to see things clearly. And I just got to laugh. I laughed when I read that. Discernment is the ability to see things clearly. The reason why I laugh at that is because I recently had to go to the eye doctor to get to get my eyes checked out and to possibly get a new prescription for my glasses. And while I'm sitting there waiting on the doctor, the lady has me out there in the foyer area, and she's going to give me a test. And so she's got the poster there on the wall, you know, with all the letters on it. And the top one is usually what? E? Okay. The poster is about right there by the piano, and I'm about right here. And she said, all right, cover up your right eye. Okay. I had my glasses off. She said, now, can you read the third line from the bottom? Is there a third line? She said, you're kidding me. I said, no. I can't even tell there is a third line from the bottom. All right, try the fourth line from the bottom. Sorry. Well, what about the fifth line from the bottom? She was getting perturbed. What about the fifth line from the bottom? I said, ma'am, I can't make it out. Well, what about the third line from the top? Because, you know, they get bigger. What about the third line from the top? I said, I can't. When I did that, she looked at me and she says, well, can't you see anything? And I started laughing. I said, well, I can't quite make out that top letter. And I couldn't. Folks, I'm as blind as a bat coming in backwards without my glasses. And she learned that day, that I could not discern any of those letters at all. Okay? I had no discernment of those letters. Now, that definition of knowledge being discernment, full discernment, is important. Because let me ask you something. Sometimes we think of knowledge as... By the way, all of you could have left right now and I wouldn't even know. Good, you're still here. All right. Could let me ask you something. I had to sit there and wait for 20 minutes before she ever did that test. Could I have memorized a few of those lines? I'm a good memorizer. Could I have memorized them? Yeah, I could have filled my head full of knowledge and memorized those lines. And man, I could have stood back here. I went, L-F-J-T-P-G-N. And I could have had the knowledge of what that said. But I didn't have discernment. And you see, a lot of people... They think of knowledge as this academic thing where I'm gonna learn the Bible and I'm gonna, you know, and all this. And no, knowledge here means discernment. There's a lot of people who are very zealous for the Lord, but they're not very discerning. For instance, some people think because of their self-imposed morality and virtue, they think that makes them acceptable to God. They think that's going to earn them brownie points with God. They think that makes them a cut above other people. Remember the Pharisee? He thought he was just a cut above because he had the to-do list down. He had the do's, he had the don'ts, and he looked better than him, he talked better than him, he acted better than him, and he thought that because of his self-imposed morality and virtue, that somehow would make him acceptable to God. And when Paul wrote the book of Romans, he said the Jews were the same way at that time. Look at Romans 10, verse 2 on the screen. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to what? To knowledge. You see, the Jews were running around thinking that all these things they did made them righteous. And he says to them, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Folks, there is no righteousness apart from Jesus Christ. There is only one thing that makes you acceptable to God this morning. Only one thing makes you acceptable to God. And that's if you're in Christ. You're either in Christ or you're in the family of Adam. You're either in Christ or in Adam. Folks, listen. The deeds that you do not impress God in the least. He is only interested in what comes forth from Christ in you. When he is only interested in what comes forth from His divine nature that He has planted within you. When you are growing in faith in Christ, Christ fills you with knowledge. He fills you with discernment that it's only through Him that you can have that moral courage and that virtue to do what's right. You see, notice how the first fruit was moral courage. The second fruit was that knowledge, that discernment. And it's a growth process. Remember, we grow in our relationship with Jesus and these fruits come out naturally. But a lot of Christians, when they first get saved, man, they're in love with Jesus. They're just relying on Jesus. They're trusting Him, you know. And so these things begin to come off their life. These immoral habits and immoral things and all these bad things start to come off. They forget it was Christ that did it in them. And they don't have that discernment to realize that, man, it's just Christ. It's Christ in me. Only what I do through Christ is pleasing to the Lord. But once you grow to that point where you realize Christ lives in you, folks, He walks with you every minute of every day. Sometimes we pray, Lord, I pray You'll be with Brother Dan while he preaches. Well, if He isn't with me, we're in a whole heap of trouble. Because if He's not with me, that means I'm not saved. But if I am saved, I'm in Christ, He's in me, and I can't go anywhere without Him being with me. Lord, be with Him, be with Him, be with Him. Well, He's promised to be with us. Every step you take, you can't. If you're saved, if you know the Lord, you can't breathe one breath of life without Christ being with you. But when you're growing in faith in Him, you have the discernment to realize the light begins to click on, and you realize it's not about you. And it's not about your moral integrity. And it's not about your list of rules and your list of standards that you think make you a cut above everybody else. All of a sudden, when you have discernment, the light clicks on and you realize it's all about Jesus living His life through you. Like the choir sung, it's all about You, Jesus. And when you realize it's all about Christ in you doing it, then you quit comparing yourself with other people. You quit criticizing everybody else because, well, they're not as good as you. Well, they don't look as good as you and they don't act as good as you. You quit all that comparison when you realize it's Christ in you. It's all about Jesus in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen, folks, please hear me. Please hear me. The disciple of Christ realizes that without Christ, I can do nothing. But with Christ, I can do all things. What does the Bible say? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Aren't you glad the through Christ is there? What if the through Christ wasn't there? What if that verse read, you can do all things if you'll just strengthen yourself? Whew. Oh, man. We'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? But He said, you can do all things through Christ. You say, I want to be a teacher. I'd love to be able to teach others the Word of God. I feel like that I have that gift of teaching. But I'm not going to fill out that care card because I can't do it. Glory, you're halfway there to understanding. If you say, I can't do it, you're halfway there. You realize you can't do it, but Christ in you can do it. Oh, man, folks, I know I'm getting all excited and everything. And I know some folks don't like it when I holler, and I apologize. But you know what amazes me is you can go to SeaWorld and the speaker's blaring and nobody says a word, you know. You can go to a football game and the decimal level is I don't know how high, and you'll never say a word. You're just caught up in the moment, you know. I just get excited, folks. I'm talking about Jesus living in you. I'm talking about the divine life and power and nature of Christ lives in you if you're saved. And He's there to give you discernment. Listen, in your handout, I want you to get this statement. Christ's Spirit lives within to fill you with the knowledge of God. That discernment. It's only through Him. It's through Jesus in us. Look in your handout at those verses. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2:11 and 12. Great verses. Look at this. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? All that's saying is nobody knows you like you. I don't know the spirit of Dylan. All I see is the outward. Okay, he knows his spirit. He knows what's in his heart. He knows the real Dylan. And that's what it's saying there. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man that's in him? Well, wait a minute. Look at the rest of it. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but who knows it? Who knows the things of God? The Spirit of God. Well, wait a minute. Let's read on. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world. We've received the Spirit which is of who? So only the Spirit knows the things of God. And where does the Spirit live? In us. Look at it. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Whew. The Spirit of God lives within you to fill you with that knowledge, that discernment. Listen, folks, listen, 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 listen. Moral courage. You know, sometimes we tell our teenagers, you know, just do right. And I heard that, man, when I was a teenager. You just do right. And you think, I'm trying. I still can't. No, you never will. And if you do manage to do right, and you do it in your flesh, it's just going to lead to pride. That's all it's going to do. You're just going to get puffed up about it and think you're better than the other teenagers. That's all that's going to do. Just one sin leads to another. That's the thing. See, when we have moral courage through us, it just gives way to another sin. And we get critical of others, or we get high and lofty, and we think we're better than others, and it just leads to another sin. So you overcame that one. Now you're sinning again over here with just something different. You just traded one sin for another. Just do right. Well, no. Folks, listen. The only way we can have moral courage is we got to have that knowledge, that discernment, that it's only through Christ in us that we can have that moral courage. It's the fruit, remember, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of you and your determination and your willpower. It's the fruit of the Spirit. As you fall in love with Jesus and you grow in, remember, the key is add to your faith. As you grow in your faith in Him, how do we get saved? Do we get saved by doing, or do we get saved by trusting? Trusting in who? Then after we get saved, do the rules change? Now it's up to me to do everything? No. The Bible teaches, as you receive the Lord, walk in Him. The way I got saved is by faith and just trusting in Jesus. You know how I have moral courage? It's having that discernment to realize it's just by faith in Jesus. It's just moment by moment. I get up in the morning, I go to work. Jesus, You've got to work through me today. I'm just abiding in You, Jesus. You work through me at work today. Jesus, when I go home, You just live through me. Live through me as I teach this class. Live through me, Jesus, as I go home to relate to my wife and my family. Jesus, You do it through me. You love them through me. Every moment as we rest in Him and we rely on His divine nature that's been planted in us, the life of Jesus spills forth. And the fruit of that is moral courage and knowledge. Next week, we're going to look at some more fruits. We're going to stop right there. I think I've loaded your wagon enough today, all right?